Let me ask you a question, since we're on the topic of like election and government. What can our government do to help this?
In the last 4 years, has it been easier to buy a home or has it not? It's been harder and harder because there's no money left over for a down payment or anything like that. Now, what do you have to make in order for you to buy a home? What is that, $150,000 or $120,000?
Over $100,000.
Yes. What I'm hearing is to save America from the housing crisis, it's going to turn to the modular home builders and the tiny home builders.
What's the vision behind Saddlebrook? Saddlebrook's not to drive insane prices and only care about the profits. We care about the people that we sell to. If you don't care as an owner of who you're selling to and making the difference in this world, what are you doing?
Absolutely.
It just helps production out back know exactly what your change orders are.
Guys, welcome back to the Tiny Home Podcast, powered by Saddlebrook, Kyler and Colton. You know what it is, number one tiny home podcast in the world.
Right, episode 14,
guys. Hey, before we start the episode, guys, like, comment, subscribe. If you have any questions that we don't get to in this podcast, write it down in the comments. If you know anybody who is interested in a tiny home or just as interested in what we talk about, dude, share the podcast. It's free.
Come on.
Guys, man. It helps the algorithm. It helps us reach more people. But Kyler and Cohen, what's up, man? How is it going?
It's exciting. Seeing, you know, I just left the production floor and seeing all of the homes get down the assembly line, it's an awesome thing that thinking, you know, 5 years ago when this all started was just a dream, and all of a sudden we're building
people's
lots of homes a month.
Yeah.
So that's a surreal feeling.
Absolutely. Sure. November, we're 5 days into November. Guys, you're probably going to watch this 2 weeks after.
Day,
dude, it's election day. How are we feeling about election day, boys?
I'm feeling confident.
You look confident?
Dude, I don't know. I'm very optimistic.
America.
Yeah, America. I mean, guys, we're in Texas. For all you guys that don't know, politics is a big deal around here.
You know, we're in a small town, too.
Yeah, small town.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say, like, how do you think election day is going to go? How, you know, is it going to affect us at all? Like, what do you think?
I mean, it would, you know, which way, whether it goes, I mean, yes, it will affect in some part, you know, it won't even affect just us, but everyone, you know.
Absolutely.
I'm wanting to see groceries come down. I want to see the cost of living come down. But we're optimistic whether it goes both ways. I mean, you have to deal with what the cards you've been dealt. And that's what we're prepared to do. So,
absolutely. How about you, Kyler? What's your outlook on how people are feeling right now?
I mean, I think everybody's feeling like, hey, you know, the expenses, gas should come down, gas prices should come down. I mean, everything with inflation's down. You know, the cost of homes. You know, everything that's going on. And the biggest thing is with inflation so high, you don't have no money to save.
Absolutely.
So, I think that's the biggest thing is in this next, you know, whatever happens tonight, when you're going to be watching this probably 2 weeks later.
Yeah, we'll probably have
results. We're already going to have results, but I think
maybe. Who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
No, we all these mail-in votes.
Yeah. It might take 2 weeks to count. But I think the biggest thing is it's not how much money you're making, it's how much money is going out. So I think that's the biggest, you know, thing that people are concerned about right now as you know, grocery, the main cost.
Absolutely.
So, hopefully we'll see a fair election, and we'll see tonight.
Absolutely. And what do you say to people? I mean, we've talked about this in the podcast probably 2 months ago. Dude, there was people in September, August, who really needed a house that said, I am going to see this election out before I buy. What do you say to those people?
It goes back to no matter what happens, I always go back to date the rates, marry the payoff. Either way it goes, the price of housing is not going to come down anyway.
Right.
So, you know, can you get a cheaper interest rate in 4 years? Maybe. But can you buy a cheaper house in 4 years? Probably not. And so it always goes back to is, you know, what can I buy today? Maybe, you know, I'll date that rate of 6 or 7%. And then what if it comes down to 3%? Well, now I have a house that I can refinance, maybe pull some cash out. It's worth more because historically houses have gone up. Home prices are going up. The shortage is even getting bigger. I mean, with all of the 15 million illegal immigrants that came in over the last 4 years, those people still have to have a place to stay. And that's not counting kids. That's not counting families. So, you know, there's a major housing shortage, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. I was reading a statistics about, you know, the actual home shortage, they say, is around 4 million. But what they're not accounting for, guys, is they're not accounting for 40 million homes that are old, outdated.
Yep.
Nobody wants to buy this.
Nope.
Absolutely. So what if all of a sudden we're 40 million homes behind? Then what happens?
Jeez Louise.
Have you ever thought about that, Chris?
I mean, it'll like, take us actually years to build out.
Do you want to buy a house? I mean, we were looking on Zillow yesterday in front of everybody. Do you want to buy a house that's in built in the 1950s for $200,000 that you have to rehab for $75,000? The only buyer for that house is
these
fix and flip landlords that they're going to be like $500, $500 a month in rent.
Yeah.
That's the only people who are going to be buying these.
Right.
And that's kind of the issue we've been having is like, are we in a renter society? I know we talked about it in podcasts, but this election, I mean, I'm not trying to get super political, but maybe just a little. It's like,
maybe you should, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, we're really going to find out, like, is the renter society going to live on or is the American dream going to come back? Guys, you know, in the 1950s, 1960s, school teachers were able to buy a nice 4-bedroom, 3-bath home. Mm-hmm. Dude, literally, their salaries have gone up from like $55,000 to $65,000 in 80 years, while home prices have gone from like, what, $30,000, $20,000 to $300,000, $400,000?
Yep.
I mean, I was on bankrate.com. It said at its peak in September, the medium home price was $404,000.
Yep.
Dude, that is insane. You are not going to afford a $400,000.
You have to make a six-figure income to even qualify.
Absolutely. And that's the crazy part.
And, you know, you just mentioned that, you know, $400,000, you know, our homes average, what, from $65,000 to $150,000, depending on what you have, what you want. But you said something about a renter's, in the last 4 years, has it been easier to buy a home or has it not? It's been harder and harder because there's no money left over for a down payment or anything like that. Now, what do you have to make in order for you to buy a home? What is that, $150,000
or $120,000?
Over $100,000. Yeah, per household. And that, it just shows you, like, you know, is the importance of voting and making sure you have the right person inside of the White House to make sure that we're building an economy that, you know, that it is affordable. And that's the awesome thing about us is we just had someone that came in. And so this individual was renting an apartment for so long, and then he figured out, okay, I'm spending, what is it, $2,000 a month on, so that's $24,000. Let me do it down. So $24,000 per year is $2,000 per month. So you're giving $24,000 away to a landlord or to a, you know, investor.
Absolutely.
How much is that in 5 years?
Dude, that's over 100.
Let's do 30 years. Yeah. Let's do 30 years. So let's just say you rent for 30 years.
Dang,
that's $24,000. Times 30 years,
and that's no. You're gonna end that including 5% in random runs every 4 years.
$720,000 that you're gonna pay to a landlord, to an investor, just, and that's multifamily. That's per door. So if you have 100 doors, you're that landlord. $24,000 times 100 doors is $2.4 million a month. He's bringing in times if he does that for 12 months or for 12 years or 30 years. 30 years. That's $72 million.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
so the renter's world is always going to be a renter's world. That's what I'm getting down to.
Absolutely.
So it's finding something, just like you said, going back to Zillow.
Yeah.
Can you find a home that you can fix up? That's an option. But I think buying a new home that you can afford and an investment, which is one of our homes.
Yeah.
Another thing, right?
Yeah. But let me bring this up, right? Kamala said she was giving $25,000 to new home buyers. Mm-hmm. Is that practical? Is that,
it's not going to go to the new home buyers. It's going to go to the sellers.
To the sellers. What do you mean?
So if they give you $25,000, guess what the sellers are going to do? Then it's going to go from a buyer's market to a seller's market again.
Demand.
And they're going to jack their prices up another $25,000 to $50,000.
Because everyone is ready to buy.
Right. Right.
Dude, it's like.
Do you remember when COVID hit, when they did the, what's that? All of that money they gave
checks.
Us?
Checks. God, I'm.
Yeah.
Stimmy.
The stimulus checks.
The stimulus checks.
Dude, I was everyone, 17 walking with
everybody went and started. Hey, people that are listening are like, they can remember the stimmy checks.
The market was a frenzy, and everybody just said, I'll go buy the Rolexes. I'll go buy another.
Easy. Zuring people walking around with new
$900 shoes, whatever.
Easy.
And so,
yeah.
But guess what the prices did overall? Everything went up. But so why did they not drop? If the market knows you're going to pay this much for beef, why would it drop down to what it was? It's not, because they know now that you're going to pay this much. They're going to keep it the same.
Yep.
Guys, a commodity in the United States, commodities right now, like cattle, are lower than what it is in the store. The stores, they never went back down. Why would they? Why does the steak cost $25, $30?
What you're telling me right now, it's just so I understand, I think I missed it. Cattle went down, but supermarkets are still not lowering their prices because they know people will pay it?
Correct. So what they did, so we're in the cattle market as well. So what they do is they're like, we have a shortage of beef. But if you look at the killer, like kill plants, they're actually having more hanging weight than it did 4 years ago. So there's not a shortage. So they create a frenzy in the marketplace that there's a shortage of beef. So now everything goes up. But they're still paying the farmers the same amount per pound.
Yeah.
Dude, which is the same.
$4 or $5? Four?
Cool. Not even five. Not five.
Threes.
Maybe twos or threes.
Yeah. Per pound.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Hearing you guys talk right now and saying all that makes me believe we're just in a hamster wheel. Like it's all turning crazy. So I'll give you an example. We recently sold to a house to people working in the oil field out in Odessa, Texas. And what they're telling us is mobile homes are renting for $4,000.
Wow.
Because they know that workers need to live somewhere, so companies will pay it. So it's a vicious cycle. But those company workers are not going to go buy a house because they know once the oil goes down, their job is done and they need to go back home.
Yeah.
So, dude, is that kind of what we're living in the home market as well? We're just in a like vicious cycle of...
There's always
more.
No, there's always going to be a need of housing, just like there's a need of food.
Yeah.
So you have to look at it a little bit different. No matter what, people always settle back down somewhere, some place. And there's always, you know, you got to have, I think, two things. You got to have somewhere to sleep and some, you know, something to eat.
Yeah.
And something to drive. No matter what, the car industry, whatever it does, you're still going to have, you know, a car. Unless you're in the city limits and you can Uber everywhere or ride Uber's the bus expensive. To work.
Right.
Yeah, Uber's more expensive. I was in Pittsburgh last week and one Uber's $85 to drive 10 miles. So there's always going to be a need of housing. And what we're seeing is, so what if we're 40 million homes short?
I know, that's the same.
There's not enough general contractors on this planet that can build that many homes that fast. They're going to need to bring in the tiny homes, the modular homes. Why? And I'll repeat this again. It's like building a car. If Ford Motors said, Chris, you're going to buy a new car, or Tesla, but we're going to come to your house and assemble it, well, they couldn't build maybe 1,000 cars a year.
Yeah. Perspective.
And so now what you get in a controlled environment, number one, you get quality. Number two is, you know, you just got done building a house. How long was your house sitting there, exposed to the sun, the rain, the weather element?
3 months.
And now all of your boards might be, you know, damaged, mold on a brand new house, right?
Nothing
done about it. So you get the quality, you get the craftsmanship, you have inspectors that inspect every stage, you get quality for a spray foam, electrical, they're all working at the same amount of time.
Yeah.
So you're not having to wait for your electricians or painters to show up, because they got tied up and on another job.
So what I'm hearing is to save America from the housing crisis, it's going to turn to the modular home builders and the tiny home builders to build homes off-site, to bring it up, to bring in a stick-built home off-site, which is a modular, bringing it in, setting it on a property, because now it gets built inside of a facility, everything up to IRC 2021 code, everything is up to code, it gets brought in, boom, you're set. So basically it's a 2 or 3 day set.
And now offsite is the future?
That's where I'm going for, yes.
Because you can have people at one place.
Take a look at Boxable. I mean, they build a flat square, but they're, you know, now, you know, I even look at, there's modular and commercial. So they're building 5-story apartment buildings in modular home sections.
TL.
Why? Is because, number one, they can build cheaper because they have an assembly line. You know, what did Henry Ford do? He created the first assembly line, and that it works. And so now, look at the mobile homes. I mean, Clayton Homes sold over 22,000 homes last year.
Dang.
Do you think there's a home shortage? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And there's a market for a mobile home, and there's a market for a modular home. The modular homes are more of your traditional stick built. They're built to the same quality inspections, the same codes. Mm-hmm. They're not a manufactured home that in 5 years, like a car, they're going to devalue.
Cabinets are falling off.
Cabinets are falling.
Formica.
You know, you can push your wall and it bounces back. You know what I mean? And your floors are all, you know, the roll-in flooring. If you get a hole, you know, you can't patch it. And there's a need for that, right? But there's also a need of, hey, I have a family. I want a bigger than a mobile home. I want it traditionally built, but I don't have the time to wait a year. I don't have the time to manage a general contractor that's going to charge me 15, 20, 30% over what, you know, whatever he wants to make. And there's not enough general contractors in this world,
right,
to produce the amount of homes that we need.
Well, let me ask you a question, since we're on the topic of like election and government. What can our government do to help this? Like, do you see a future where the government of tech, like,
lower interest rates?
Yeah. But can they, like, do you think there will be a possibility where, like, a company like us can collaborate with the state of Texas on building 1,000 homes?
Yes.
And how does that look like?
I mean, you go and look at where the need is. I mean, right now there's a big, you know, shortage of housing needed for even colleges and student campuses. And there's a need everywhere. There's a need for, you know, FEMA. When they did all of those camper trailers for FEMA, that was a disaster. Like, take North Carolina, for instance. I was at a modular home conference last week, and there's 7 companies getting together as one to attack that problem that they're, you know, you can't rebuild fast enough. The modular homes are really popular up in the northern states because, you know, you can only build
5-6 months
out of the year because it gets snowy, cold, raining, and, you know, you can't work outside. So that's and, you know, they can beat the prices in a factory versus what it costs a contractor to go out there. So we're now seeing in the southern states, our prices are now beating and winning a lot of these general contractors that can't build for cheaper because the labor's gone up. The labor shortage. But going back to what can the government do, it's number one, dropping your interest rates. It goes back to construction loan interest rates. It goes back to everything. For, you know, even the real estate developers, they can't afford an 8% interest rate,
right,
on a construction loan for a year.
Now, let me ask you a question on the interest rates, right? Because we talked about before the podcast, the government is trying to lower interest rates. It's projected to be at 6% by the end of 2024. But you corrected me. You said, hey, but mortgage rates aren't.
For some reason, mortgage rates are not dropping.
So mortgage, even though interest rates are dropping by 6%, mortgage rates are at what?
They're staying the same.
Are
7.05 right now?
I was watching.
I'm not sure. FHA, VA, all these they're different.
Okay.
So you're going to get a cheaper one on VA. But all of those different, like a conventional VA, FHA, those interest rates are different.
Right. You know, 70% of Americans right now have less than a 3% interest rate. They're not moving.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They know that they can't sell that and go buy something. So that's where the government, in my opinion, has to step in at some point. If not, that person's going to stay there for another 10, 15, 20 years. Why? They can't afford anything else. You know, a mortgage that in 2020 cost $1,200 a month, now it's $2,700
a month. It's insane. It's actually insane. But why do you think these mortgage rates are not dropping? Like, what's going to cause a drop in mortgage rates?
Chris, that's a big loaded question. I mean, in my opinion, there's a lot that goes into it. Inflation, you know, they have to battle inflation. They have to battle, you know, it all goes back to even tariffs. It goes back to a lot has to do with it.
Yeah.
It's not just one simple question.
It's a lot.
They can't flip a switch and say, now you have 2% interest rate.
I understand. You know,
I believe if we have a 2% interest rate today, their economy eventually would crash, in my opinion.
Really?
Right.
Why?
Just because we're not prepared for that.
Yeah. Too many buyers.
You can't have this high of inflation, because if it would go to a 2%, you would have a crazy amount of inflation of, oh, people, now your house was worth 200 last year, I can sell it for 400 because somebody can finance it.
Yeah. Yep.
So they have to watch all of that. It's in crazy. Perspective.
Fannie Mae right now, 30-year fix, 7.05%. It's actually down a little bit today. A 30-year FHA is 6.57%. A VA loan
still double from what people were getting to FHA. I mean, you know, in 2020, and my dad personally got an FHA loan. I mean, he got locked in at 3.2%. Yeah.
And you can buy down your rate, but you're not.
Can you buy down your rate? How does buying down your rate work?
You got to buy down points.
Okay.
So a bigger down payment, but if you're already having, if your house is 400,000, you're already having to come up with.
Absolutely, you don't want to spend that extra money.
Well, it's hard to do unless you have parents that can help you buy down your rate, stuff like that.
So biggest thing for me when I'm thinking about tiny homes, it's, we spoke about a renter's market, about, you know, there's always this kind of argument in America, rich get richer, poor get poorer. Would you agree? Have you ever heard that statement?
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And my thing was never really rich get rich, poor get poorer. It's that the rich get smarter and the poor get
more educated.
Like the poor need to educate the people who are obviously not as fortunate as rich people, because a lot of rich people in America today are self-made. So they didn't start off rich. So they know something that we don't, right? It's what we say all the time. So for us, it's a privilege, honestly, to be talking to you guys, because tiny homes are the way to go, right? So biggest thing in America is no one can afford a home. We're bringing that American dream back. Hear this out. According to Rocket Mortgage, okay, this is insane. This is going to blow your mind, Colton. So don't smile too hard. Okay, guys, turn the camera to Colton. Tell him not to smile too hard. According to Rocket Mortgage, the average price per square foot for a tiny home is $350 to $400.
Oh, my goodness. We're too cheap.
According to Rocket Mortgage. Yeah, that's what I said. Dude, how do we keep our homes so affordable then? Because we're at 129, 146, 150 a square foot, 160 a square foot at the high end. How do we keep ourselves so affordable? Are you sure our quality is good, Colin?
You get, I mean, the more volume that you have, the, you know, the lower that you can go. I mean, if I buy that 2x4, you know, with two truckloads versus one bundle, well, absolutely, they're going to cut me a break.
Yeah.
And everything goes in perspective of, you know, the timelines, how it takes. If you have people on hourly versus a contractor that you pay $2,000 to paint, but my hourly people, and you get more efficient, well, now you have $1,500 in it. So everything drives the price down the faster and more efficient that you can get.
Absolutely.
And quite frankly, I don't want to price gouge. Absolutely, we could charge $200 a square foot because of the quality that we have.
100%.
Do I want to? No. Could I sell just as many houses? Probably. Or I wouldn't have to sell as many houses as one could say. You don't, I mean, what's the vision behind Saddlebrook? Saddlebrook's not to drive insane prices and only care about the profits. We care about the people that we sell to. If you don't care as an owner of who you're selling to and making the difference in this world, what are you doing?
Absolutely.
If you're trying to just make a profit, absolutely. Go to the top of the top of the food chain, sell half the customers for twice as much, and you're going to get to the same place you are today.
Yeah.
That's it's awesome. Just, is your vision big enough to include a lot more people? You know, my vision is to, you know, have 500 employees. Why? Because now I'm feeding 500 employees.
Plus your families.
You know, you can be... you know, start a kingdom ministry in the marketplace with 500 employees versus 10.
Yeah.
You know, 10x is always easier than 2x. It's just as hard managing 500 employees than it is 10. They're just more managers.
Yeah.
But what are you doing with 500 employees? You're changing a lot of people's lives. And my vision for this is not to play small. You know, God didn't put me on this earth to play small, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to allow to play small. Why? Everything matters. You know, at the end of the day, it's not about how much money you make or what you can take home or all of that. It's about, you know, what family can you create? How many people can you help? You know, I want to get to heaven and God says, well done, you know. And I want to do that with feeding families and feeding employees and creating affordable housing for a family that, you know, can't afford rent. That's what it's all about. Of course, we're going to make a profit in the meantime. You know, you can't survive a company without a profit, right? But that's not your entire focus. If a company's entire focus is
purpose and profits,
they're going to charge $300 a square foot and say, great, you're broke, Chris. You can't afford it. We don't have a product for you. Go somewhere else. They don't care about you.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
That's a great perspective. Guys, listen. I have some viewer questions, but I'll let Kyler speak because he's...
So I wanted to get back to it because you made a comment that says, you know, why do the rich get richer and the poor get poorer?
Yeah.
And you had a strong statement coming back and saying, hey, we honestly have a product for everyone because, I mean, we can honestly build a shell and we can get you a home that it is in your price range. But I wanted to make a comment, and I think we should make it more is, number one, the reason that we're even doing this, and I know this is the reason, is because, you know, God is a big God and God has given us a purpose in our hearts to fulfill his kingdom. And it is to play big and it is to not play small. And it is to, for me and you, you know, running a company, you're 23 years old, you're about to be 24 in 29 days. You're going to be 24 years old, I'm 25. And so God has given us such a big purpose to come out here and to give you guys perspective. I'm going to say it again, perspective on why do the rich get richer and why do we do what we do? And it's all because God has put something in our hearts to not only grow a big business, but to grow the people inside of it, to give them vision and to give them purpose on this earth. Because honestly, just like you, I want to get to heaven and God says, well done, good and faithful servant. You did what you were supposed to do. You continued to grow, you help people, and you live the life like Jesus did. And that's the biggest thing about this podcast, is not to bring you, hey, instead of renting, you should buy a tiny home. It's to bring that God changed us. God, this is the only reason that we're here, is I want to give, number one, God gets the credit for everything that we're doing, no matter what. No matter what, God gets the credit. And we're doing this podcast to give him glory and honor because this is his stage. And honestly, I think we should give him more attention than we even have been. I'm calling us up and saying, because you're like, hey, why do the rich get richer? It's because we continue to find like that fulfillment.
Solutions.
Fulfillment. It's bringing God in your life. And we just continue to grow and grow. And it's like, okay, how can we help the audience that's listening to this? Or how can we help the people that need a home? It's thinking outside the box, and it's bringing God in your life. And so I just wanted to say this real quick. Like, God gets the credit for what we're doing, and I want to bring God more into, you know, what we're doing and give him the glory and honor.
Amen.
Because we're here to give him, to advance the kingdom, and that is to educate people. That's the only thing, reason people, you're stuck is because you're not educated, and you continue to do the same thing, and you get the same result. So go ahead, Chris.
Yep. I mean, beautiful statement, and that's true. We're a Christ-centered company. So it's great. We should give God all the glory more than we have been given. Like, you know, like we need,
I agree.
We need to give him the glory more now. You know, life gets so busy. Sometimes we forget about him, but he needs to be the cornerstone of our life.
God is in control. So, I mean, the news can get ahead of us, the interest rates and all that. But if you put your trust in God and say, God, I'm going to leave it up to you. Like, what are you trying to tell me? It's surrender your ways. And you know, how can you be more like him and less like the world?
Absolutely.
And hopefully this podcast brings you that, because I'm 25, you're about to be 24. And the more that I realize that you can have a lot of money, you can have, you know, everything, you need God in your life. And
absolutely.
So I just want to call us up. That way our audience knows that we want to be better. We want to bring education, of course, but know that God is in control.
I love that.
Yep.
I really love that. Great statement. And honestly, that's going to be your closing statement. You know what I mean? I love that statement. There's nothing I could top that. Just before we leave, I want to start doing this thing called like viewer questions. Is that okay with you? A new segment called viewer questions.
Yeah.
Two quick questions before we get out of here. Number one, we talk about finance rates, mortgage rates, interest rates. Does Saddlebrook have financing?
We offer financing, yes.
We offer financing.
Right.
And how can they get more information on financing, Colton?
Give us a call.
Give us a call. What's the number?
903-219-0869.
There you go, guys. And number two, and very interesting question before we head out. Can we build a basement with our tiny homes? Or can we have a cutout for a basement on our tiny homes?
If you do a basement, yes, but you have to use a stem wall foundation.
Stem wall foundation. Right. So yes, basement, but they need a stem wall foundation. Right. And how do we go about doing that cutout?
Super simple. It's, of course, structural engineered, but you're going to have to, of course, crane it in instead of our typical delivery.
Yeah.
You'd have to crane it in and put it in and sit it right on top of the stem wall.
Yeah.
Yep. Simple process.
Boom.
Easy. Looks kind of hard, but for us, it's not. It's not
simple. That's it, guys. That's all I have for today. Thank you guys so much for joining me. That was a conclusion on episode 14.
Let's go.
And guys, we're going to head out. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 14 of the Tiny Home Podcast. Of course, the best tiny home podcast in the world. Again, guys, if you have any questions that we didn't answer, leave a comment. If you like this video, like it. And if you didn't like it anyway. And if you know someone who needs more information or could benefit from hearing these words that we said, especially Kyler's powerful ending statement, guys, consider sharing this.
Love it.
This is Chris, Kyler, and Colton, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Please. Thank you, guys. Love you guys.
If you enjoyed this video, drop a like. If you have any questions we didn't answer, drop a comment. And guys, tune into next week's episode where we will continue to educate you about the tiny home industry.